Hello, everybody. This is Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca. Our twice-daily Fired Up show is available on 108 platforms, also on the OSG Sports app. Welcome to another edition of Ballin'. Yes, Captain Canada, Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball is back.
He's here.
Where have you been?
I've been busy, man. I've been just...
Yeah, like, I haven't been busy. I'm doing six shows a day. Where have you been?
I'm not that busy, but I'm busy. I've been in South Carolina. I've been in Michigan. I've been in Ottawa, back to Toronto, Mississauga, Brampton. I've been all over North America, my friend.
All right. Today, we're taping this late Sunday night. Was Selection Sunday for the NCAA Tournament Brackets. March Madness begins on Thursday. East Region, number one, Duke versus NC Central, North Dakota State. VCU, UCF, 8-9. 5, Mississippi State, Liberty, 12. 4, 13, Virginia, St. Louis. I'm not going to go through all of these, but give me quickly, we're not going to go through the matchups. We'll do it later on this week. Give me, let's first start talking about Duke. I hear they have a Canadian, and they have a guy who needs to repair his shoes.
Yeah, they got a Canadian, a pretty good Canadian, one of the best that have come out of the system, RJ Barrett, obviously. Went into the season, Joe, as a consensus number one player. Right now, that seems to have changed. Now, the winds have turned, the tides have turned to Zion Williamson, of course, he of the Nike Shoegate fame. But you got to give Zion his props. What I love about his game is he plays both sides. He's leading in steals, I believe, in the conference. You see his blocks. He puts a real effort on defense. And you look on offense, his footwork is unbelievable. Second jump, probably one of the quickest in the country. But, hey, RJ Barrett, definitely, you know, not just a Robin to his Batman. I think they're Batman A and Batman B because RJ's put it up all season long. He's on course to be one of the highest scoring Duke freshmen ever. He's already in the top 10, I believe it is, and closing in on some of the notable Duke players. But RJ brings a complete package to the table, can get to the tin, can rebound for a guard, can score, obviously, can hit the three. So for Duke, it's a great problem to have, you know, possibly more than likely the number one and two draft picks in the NBA draft in June on one team, not to mention Cam Reddish, Trey Jones, and the rest of the Duke cast. I mean, right now, with Zion playing, they have to be one of the favorites to go all the way to the championship game and maybe pull it out. But it's not going to be an easy road. When you look at that East bracket, you see that the Michigan State Spartans are on the other side of the bracket, and you have teams that could do some damage. You have an LSU at number three. You have Virginia Tech, who have come on with, of course, our Canadian Nikhil Alexander Walker and Jonathan Kabongo. Those two Canadians are on that team. So watch out for them. And there's always that VCU team. They're very sneaky at number eight. You know, so there's some teams there that could pose some issues in that East bracket.
All right, let's continue on the brackets. What about the South and the Midwest?
Well, the South, obviously, Virginia is one of the toughest teams. Only 3 losses this season. They're the team that always looks good. The last recent 5 to 10 years, Virginia looks good in that regular season, but hasn't been able to kind of get it all done and put it all together. Could this be the year? They do it. We'll see what happens. They're obviously going to be one of the favorites out of the South. And you scan down that South region, no one's talking about Villanova. They're at the number 6 spot. They're always going to be dangerous. And I think another dangerous team could be Cincinnati Bearcats at the number 7 spot. And, of course, the number 2 seed in that bracket is Tennessee. A disappointing finish to their tournament, obviously going down to Auburn, but they're still going to be one of the favorites to come out of that side. They have Kyle Alexander, the Canadian, in that. And you mentioned the Midwest. UNC going to be tough, the number one seed. And, you know, the ACC, what a conference, you know. Three teams from the ACC get that number one seed. When's the last time that happened? I don't even know. You know, Kansas is in that bracket, number four. Kansas went down to Iowa State with Liddell Wigginton and Mario Chaoff, two Canadians. Mario Chaoff was named the MVP of that bracket and got it done for Iowa State with Naz Long in the stands. Naz is playing for the Salt Lake City Stars and Utah Jazz. He's a two-way player. He was back in town in St. Louis to support his squad as he took down Kansas. There's some teams, as I mentioned, Iowa State is in that bracket. That's going to be interesting. They're in with the same bracket as Kansas. And also a team like, Kentucky is another one you can't overlook. No one's really been talking about them that much, especially after they lost in that opener to Duke. But Kentucky is going to be a dangerous team that I don't think a lot of teams want to face.
All right, and then finally, the West region. Why is it the West region when everybody in the East is there? Gonzaga, Syracuse, Florida State. Now, in another show, I talked about Buffalo, okay? When was the last time Buffalo had a good NCAA team? They're sixth ranked in this year's tourney.
Well, they've been coming on. I mean, they've got a lot of talent on that team. I've watched them a few times. C.J. Massenburg, unbelievable player. He was barely recruited, and now this guy's turning into a player that could, you know, obviously he's going to get a lot of NBA looks. But you got to love what they're doing down there in Buffalo. It's so close here to Toronto as well. It's a shame that I wasn't able to go check a game this season, but I hope they have a good team next year because I will definitely be back covering them. I like where they are. They're at number six spot. A very, very dangerous team is Buffalo, and we'll see what happens. They await the winner of Arizona State, St. John's in that play-in game right there. You look at Florida. Florida is an interesting team. I felt they got fouled yesterday. Andrew Nembhard, the Canadian who the night before, Friday night, was the hero making the three-pointer to win that game, and then it came down to the semifinals, and they got jobbed on that three-point shot by Andrew Nembhard. A definite foul right there. I'm liking Michigan. They're really tough. Of course, Ignas Brazikas, the freshman of the year in the Big Ten, he's a Canadian out of Mississauga. He's been leading that team all season long. They got the number two seed. So if they win that game, they go up against the winner of Florida and Nevada. And I'll tell you right now, Nevada is a team. They remind me of a team, the Illinois Fighting Illini, you know, about 20 years ago with Kenny Battle and those guys. You got a lot of guys that are in that 6'6", 6'7", range. They really are playing well. They've had a nice, you know, run for the last few seasons. They're number seven, only four losses on the season. So I'm looking for Nevada to be one of the dark horses in this whole NCAA tournament.
All right, so I'm going to ask you right now.
Joe, just this, before you go on, you mentioned a lot of the teams in the East, obviously. I didn't mention Gonzaga. You know, they had a tough loss, obviously, in their tournament. But I like their odds to go through if they're fully healthy. You know, with a team like Syracuse, they always seem to step up when nobody expects them to. Watch out for Florida State. We saw what they did. They got to the ACC championship game. It's only seven losses on the season. They have a lot of length. Their defense is great, and their offense is one of the best that Florida State and Leonard Hamilton have had in a long time. I want to shout out Vermont Catamounts. They are doing it again. They have a streak in their conference of winning conference titles. And they're a team taking on Florida State. Who knows? Could be a Cinderella in that first game.
All right, so give me your final four.
Oh, boy, I haven't even thought about it yet, Joe. You're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah, on Thursday it starts. Come on.
I gotta go with Duke. Oh man, that West region. I'm gonna go Duke. I'm pulling for Michigan in that correct West bracket, and then going over to the South. It's gonna be hard to go up against Virginia the way they're playing this season. They usually do what they got to do, reaching, you know, a certain point. So I'm going to go with Tennessee. I'm going to go with the number two out of that one in the South. And in the Midwest, I really don't think North Carolina, UNC, is getting the kind of respect that they deserve right now. And I think it's going to come down to UNC taking on Kentucky to see who goes to the Final Four. So I'm liking Carolina. Seems like I'm going with a lot of the one seeds, but, you know, they're strong. Those one seeds are very strong this season.
All right, let's talk about the little NBA since you haven't been here in quite a few weeks. So let me ask you this. There is a rumor that the Lakers at the trade deadline were considering trading number 23. Are those
who's
rumors?
Number 23?
Some guy who quit today.
Quit?
Yeah, James Brownlee.
Man, I've been out all day. I've been out covering hoops all day.
McDonald's. Don't lie. I saw you at McDonald's. You were asking for coupons for me for that 2-for-1 deal at McDonald's. By the way, if you're at McDonald's tomorrow, the Raptors hit 15 three-pointers or 18 three-pointers, you got free medium fries. Go ahead.
There you go. I got the app, too. So, hey, we're plugging McDonald's here. I didn't hear until you mentioned it before we started taping about this. What happened exactly?
What happened with him potentially being traded or he just quitting on the team today?
Yeah, I mean, quitting. I can't.
Well, basically, they were playing the Knicks, and they lost to the Knicks today, 124-123. LeBron, of course, had his 30 points or whatever. They were leaving, and then his shot got blocked.
Yeah,
instead of running back up the floor, he just left the floor.
Well, oh boy! You know, LeBron takes a lot of heat. Let's admit it. And I heard coming home, I heard them talking about Walt Frazier saying, he didn't like the fact that LeBron James was sitting at the end of the bench. I'm not mistaken, LeBron has a special seat, I believe, and I believe they put it there. And Stephen A. Smith was kind of going off on Mr. Frazier, the legend, you know, saying, come on, let's not make a big deal of it. As far as the block goes, I mean, regardless of what the situation is in the game, if you are looking to win the game, you have to run back. You have to make a play if you're blocked. You can't just give up. You know what I mean? I'm trying to see if I can check out the play right now, and that way I can see what people are talking about. But as far as a quitter, I mean, I don't see how you can call LeBron James a quitter. I mean, he's always pretty much brought his A game when he's had to do it. And to say he just gave up, it's interesting. I'm just watching it now. Yeah. The game was done. It was literally pretty much finished. I'm not even sure how much time was even left on the clock, but that was it.
There was about 20 seconds left.
Yeah, but he made the play, and then after that, there was only a few seconds left. What we should be talking about is the fact that the Knicks got the win. That team has been in disarray. James Dolan, there was a fan this week. Who
sell your team. Sell the Knicks.
And
you're barred from the NBA.
I mean, listen, man. James Dolan, I think he's under enough scrutiny. I don't think he needs to bring this kind of negativity. Let the fans say what he wants to say. They're, you know, it's a free speech country. You can't take every single slight against you. And I think that was a very wrong move. And they've been talking about free agents looking at that move and the pettiness of the owner of the Knicks, and saying, does he really think free agents are going to sign there with that kind of owner? So I was very disgusted to see him, to be honest with you, and hear of him banning that fan. Let's hope he's changed his mind. I don't know if that situation's changed, but I think is they need to reverse that if it hasn't been done. Let the fan speak his piece. Just walk through the crowd, James Dolan, and ignore that. There's always going to be haters. And let's be honest, the Knicks deserve a lot of vitriol from their fans. I'll tell you, I don't think even in the Toronto market that the fans here in Toronto would put up with mediocrity as the New York Knicks fans have in the Mecca, the absolute Mecca. If you know anything about basketball, you know anything about New York hoops and New York City hoops, New York is the Mecca. And to have a team this bad for this long, it's an absolute travesty. And hopefully he can turn it around. But those moves, like going after fans that are, you know, voicing their displeasure, I don't think that helps.
All right, now let's, as we conclude balling for this time around, let's conclude with the Toronto Raptors. You better hope that the Raptors don't play the Detroit Pistons in the opening round after getting swept by Dwayne Casey in the Pistons yet again. What's going on with the Raptors? No, forget about how it doesn't happen. Let me ask you a question, okay? Milwaukee loses one of their players. He's gone 6 weeks. They've been losing games. Have the Raptors given up on first place? Because Milwaukee has lost, like in the last week, 4 out of 5 or 6 games, and the Raptors have lost them too. And they're not losing to teams, let's say, like Golden State or Houston. They're losing to, really, when you think about it, the Raptors lose to Cleveland and Detroit in 1 week.
Yeah, I mean, you can't lose, and And thinking about this, you can't lose to Cleveland at all at this stage in the game. Those are teams that you put away. And obviously, Detroit has their number. You can't really, you know, go into Detroit having lost already to your former team. There's got to be some kind of level of pride, Joe, to say, hey, no, we are going to deal with this team that's barely over 500, 36 and 33 right now after the win. We're supposed to go in there and at least take care of one game. So that's a matchup the Raptors definitely don't want to see. Right now, as the standings are, they would take on the Brooklyn Nets, who are in the 7th position. But you never know. You know, Detroit, you know, they're close to Detroit. If Detroit falls a spot, they can end up taking on the Raptors. So I'm not sure where the mentality of the Toronto Raptors are right now, but you make a great point. They're only 3 games out of first. And Milwaukee's 6-4 in their last 10. Toronto's 5-5. You switch that up to maybe 8-2 in their last 10, and they're almost neck and neck. So the Raptors have to, what type of team do they want to be? Do they want to now take advantage with Malcolm Brogdon going out for the Bucks? That's a huge loss for the Milwaukee Bucks. Going in, and we'll see. Sometimes plantar fasciitis takes longer than 6 weeks to heal.
All right, so final question. You haven't been on here for quite a few times or a few weeks. I'm going to ask you, the reason why you haven't been on is because of load management, all right? What do you think of this load management crap in the NBA? One guy plays, one guy doesn't. Load management, who was this? Dan Gundy say, he just has to cool down. It's a cool down session or whatever. Like, what is going on with the NBA load management? They can't play back-to-back games. They can't, not even back-to-back. Like a Tuesday to Friday. He can't play a Friday game when he played a Tuesday game.
Well, load management, as the terminology, the correct terminology, demand-side management, is the process of balancing the supply of electricity on the network.
What are you talking about? Come on. This is basketball. You're not talking about plumbing. Come on.
Well, I was going to say, you know, if you let me finish, it was the process of balancing the supply of electricity on the network with the electrical load by adjusting or controlling the load rather than the power station output. So guys like Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James sitting out in Detroit, they are the power station output. And there's the times when you need to take the load off the power station. And that's what happens. Now, it's a new terminology. Obviously, we're trying to get used to it.
I don't even understand what you just said. Goes, I'm talking about basketball. You're talking about electricity.
Hey, listen, these guys are human beings. Now, the point with Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard, I think you have to admit, it's prudent for the Toronto Raptors, you know, being a playoff team, being a team with aspirations, Joe, to reach the NBA Finals, if not win a championship. They have to really be careful with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, you could call it rest, you could call it day off, whatever you want to call it. You know how in 2019 everything's got to be have a cutesy name to it. So I think for the Raptors, they're erring on the side of caution, and I think that's good because they're a team that has NBA Finals and NBA Championship aspirations. As far as LeBron James, it's tough because the fans want to see LeBron James, especially knowing that it's the one time in the season that the fans in Detroit will see him. So it's tough on the fans, but you know what? Ultimately, the player's health has to be number one on the long term. And you hope that if the, you know, like LeBron James and Lakers go back next year to Detroit, then you hope that he'll be playing in that game because the fans deserve to see the stars play.
So my final question is with load management and all that, you haven't been on here since January 1st. It's March 20th, let's say. When's the next time you're going to take off load management and do ball in here?
I've been on load management, it seems, for a little while. We were on with Norm, Jessen, a couple weeks ago, which was great to be back on. Now, I just want to let everybody know I love to do ball and I love to do the show with you, Joe. You know, it's just been a lot of things on my plate with On Point Basketball. We're trying to do some real special things this summer. And obviously you guys are going to know what we're up to in Toronto basketball, in world basketball. We have some things on tap that is going to be absolutely amazing for what we're trying to do. So I really appreciate your patience, Joe. But we're back. And you know what? I think we're back at the right time. The playoffs are about to start. March Madness is starting. So you're going to hear a lot of me, fans. You're going to be sick of Mr. Captain Canada, as Joe likes to call me. You're going to be sick of hearing us because we're going to be talking ball over the next month and a half, and beyond, because the NBA Finals obviously don't end till June. So we're talking another at least 2-3 months of basketball. So On Point Basketball, we're here, man. Remember to check us out, On Point Basketball on Instagram, as well as Drew Ebanks on Twitter, On Point Basketball on Facebook. Remember to pull for all our Canadian kids. We also have a big event coming up this week, the second prep league. We just had the OSBA prep league in Ontario, the TRC Wolfpack. They were crowned some future NCAA players, U Sports players, and possibly some NBA players in that final as TRC took down Thornley Prep. And then the NPA, the National Preparatory Association, run by North Pole Hoops, that starts this Wednesday to Saturday. Yours truly will be on the mic in the stadium at Sheridan College in Brampton, Ontario. I'll be on the mic for the semifinal game on Friday night, 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., and at the championship game, I will be calling that game to the masses in the stadium, in the gym at 7 p.m. on Saturday. So I'm stoked. I'm happy. Thanks to North Pole Hoops and NPA for bringing Drew Ebanks on board. I got a new career, Joe. I'm an MC, man. I'm an MC.
Yeah, but tell them about your new career. You're going to be the curling expert for Barnburner.
Hey,
Hurry hard.
I got to touch up on my curling, but I actually like watching curling. It's a pretty cool sport. I like it, and it's a very popular sport here in Canada as well. I think one day, Joe, you and I, we're going to go curling, man. We're going to have to go try it out. What do you think?
Do you curl your hair? Is that why you take load management days or what?
I got no hair, man. My hair is all gone right now. I just shaved it down the other day.
Oh, hold on. So you're going to be doing the MC for these events or whatever. Can you give the fans a sneak peek? Let's say you call a basket or two. Go ahead. Let's see if you take away Eric Smith's job at the Fan. Go ahead.
Eric Smith's job. Bucket!
hold on. That sounds like Herbie Kuhn. But you don't take a, you won't take away Herbie Kuhn's job. All right. That's Captain Canada, Drew Ebanks, onpointbasketball.com. Check him out. He'll be back whenever he decides to take off load management. But March Madness begins on Thursday. Hopefully we'll do this once again in the middle of the week. Thanks a lot, Drew.
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to it. Big week coming up, guys. It's Christmas in March. It's March Madness time.